Sorry about that. Let me start over. Welcome to Anime Talk. This is your host, Joe. I just had my mic muted, which is great for actually talking to people. But thank you again for coming to join us. If this is your first time, thanks for dropping by. If you're a repeat customer, we appreciate it. But like I said, I am your host, Joe. I'm a staff writer at We Remember Love, and you can find me on Twitter at JoeAnimated. And some of you already know this, but you can tag your questions, Joe's Anime Talk, and at the end of the show, we'll start going through some of those with our guests. And tonight, like I said, I have three great guests. And first, let's start with you, Sandra, if you can introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Sandra. I'm the writer of Spherical Cows, which has nothing to do with spheres, cows, physics, or Linux. I basically just write reviews and then miscellaneous stupid stuff. I don't really know what else to call those posts.
So you can find Sandra at considerthem.wordpress.com. She's also on Twitter at SphereCow. Next up, we have Kevo. Go ahead, Kevo.
Hey, I'm Kevo. I'm the head writer, basically the only writer at Desu Ex Machina, which is my blog. Fun fact, I think around 20% of readers think it's Deus Ex Machina. I don't know, I guess it's the way the letters look. I'm also an associate reviewer at the Nihon Review. Basically, I just blog about random things that I find in anime or things that I find amusing. I also run the Anime Power Rankings. That's the survey that I've been pestering half the anime blog to steer with every week. And then, catch me on Twitter.
And finally,
at
Kevo31415.
Right.
And last but not least, we have Otosan. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm from my own blog, Shameful Otaku Secret. And once weekly at Sea Slugs, the venerable episodic blog. And my dog is going to squeak his toy every time I talk, I'm pretty sure. And you can find me on Twitter also, currently at Quattro Maeda. It'll be different tomorrow, I'm sure. And I have not considered Spherical Cows yet.
You should.
I'm going to.
Your dog's really getting into that toy.
I'm glad you told us it was a dog to start with, otherwise we'd be a little bit worried about you. But anyways, let's get started, guys. Thanks for joining me tonight. So let's start with a big question tonight. What makes a show watchable? And then conversely, how does that make it different from being a good show? Because I've seen this on Twitter, at least in the last week, three or four arguments just in this realm where there are shows people consider good, people that consider shows watchable. What's the difference, or is it different? Kevo, why don't you start?
Sure. Well, to me, the difference between watchability and quality itself, good. Watchability, it's more about how accessible an anime is, especially, you know, just if I'm bored and I want to watch a show and I want to be entertained. And I want it to not be very pretentious, but be more of entertaining to me. And then a good show would be a show that really resonates that level of quality. It appeals to what you would find, what you exactly want from anime, or, you know, any kind of media, just a sense of art, a sense of depth, and a sense of complexity in the plot, you know, or whatever you look for in an actual show. I think the paradigm is that, you know, watchable is easy, and then good is, like, kind of more self-explanatory. It's good as quality. And I guess there's some overlap or some examples. Some real key is sometimes shows are watchable but not good, and then the converse, sometimes shows are really good but they're not very watchable. It's kind of like you have to really hunker down and plow through something, but it's not really enjoyable, but it's really, really, like, entertaining at the end or something like that.
So what do you think, Sandra?
I think there's a difference between watchable and good, just because the type of person who will watch, like, really crappy, low-budget sci-fi movies, and, like, they're terrible, but they're hilarious. So what exactly the difference is probably difficult to define, though. Like, with watchability, there just has to be something in it that grips me, something that makes me pay attention to it, and that what that is will depend on the series, I think.
So give me an example then of a show that was watchable but not necessarily good. Like something that you just background noise.
Trying to think of an anime that would fit for that.
Like right now, I would consider, you know, it's not done yet, but like Space Bros for me is watchable, but it's not good yet. It hasn't reached any sort of, there hasn't been any true conflict. There hasn't been any, but it's watchable, but it's not good. And then there's a show like, let me think. What's the one where the guy sees the ghost? Not really ghost, but he sees the Mushi. I can't remember the name of the show now. My mind just went blank.
Dusk Maiden of Amnesia?
No, it's an older anime. It's a guy, he's got white hair, he walks around, he sees Mushi.
Oh my gosh, this show, what's it called?
Mushishi, there we go. The show is good, but for me it's just not watchable. I can't get into it. It's got great visuals, the plot is interesting, but for me it just isn't, I just don't find it watchable. But it's a good show. I mean,
once you get into it and kind of jump that border, it's really, you know, it really rakes that return in, you know. It rewards you for watching it, but yeah, there's that kind of barrier.
I don't know. I think it's pretty watchable, but you just can't watch a lot of it at once. Like just one episode a week or something.
Yeah. So what do you
I'm going to go revolutionary here and say that since anime was made to be watched, if it's not watchable, it's probably not very good. I mean, this is one of those things that, like, it comes around every 6 months or so, and I've started repeating myself a lot. Of all the topics that come around every 6 months that I find really repetitive and boring, one of them is Haruhi is overrated. One of them is this one, because I think that at the risk of, like, sounding too free and easy with it, I think that you kind of determine your own criteria for good. And there's only so much objectivity you can get into outside of, like, technical achievements or, you know, that sort of thing. But other than that, you know, good is good's an eye of the beholder thing.
Yeah, I think overall, I'll return to that, you know, the question, you know, was what do you think is watchable and how is that different from what you think is being good? Because, you know, yeah, it's all in you. Like, I couldn't sit through Penguin Drum at all, but everyone says it's a great show. So and the writing's okay, I thought. And so I guess that's an example I would have of, you know, a show being good but not very watchable. Obviously, people would flame me to death for actually saying that and believing that, you know, but everyone has their own opinion, you know.
I kind of go more with Toa a little bit on this, just because if it's not watchable, for me, if it's not watchable, then there's no way I'm going to find it as being good. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not going to spend the time to discover anything about it. It's already lost my interest. You know, like somebody just mentioned in our chat, maybe there's an enthusiasm for it. For you, if there's some sort of effort you're putting, I mean, if it generates some sort of enthusiasm, it's obviously watchable. At that point, you got to decide, was it good enough to keep going or not?
Yeah, I wonder if good is, or, you know, good or watchable are either mutually exclusive from one another. You know, maybe you do need to be a watchable show to be a good show and vice versa. You know, I don't have too many patience. I think patience is plural. I don't have too many patients.
You're a doctor?
Yeah. All these sick people, man. No, I don't have too much patience for anime, to be honest, especially as my backlog gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, if I don't like something or if something doesn't grip me, I'm probably going to put it on hold for ever, you know.
I think part of the problem is, like, the definition of what good is. You need to define that before you can really say anything on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, going back to Space Bros, I mean, if you're finding it very watchable, that means you're finding it very entertaining. You know, that means there's something of benefit that I would call good. You know, it's probably, maybe it's the charming characters, at least that's what does it for me. And that's, you know, that's enough to say good, if you ask me. Especially when so much anime is, like, just unwatchable to me. I don't know.
I mean, really back to that whole, you know, it's everything is in the eye of the beholder thing. I actually find Space Rose an example of the opposite. I think it's a show that's not very watchable, but very good. You know, the pacing is rather leisurely, you know, and it's more about characters and a lot of things haven't, you know, things are rolling along at an okay pace, but right now it's more kind of about that subtle, like, you know, that subtle, slow-moving story. I find that it's very good in everything that it does, but the watchability, you know, because of the pacing, lacks a little bit. So, you know, that reiterates that point. It's like, it's all your own opinion. You know, I can have an exact opposite opinion as Joe.
What? This is the internet, people.
Everyone has to have the same opinion.
Well, I mean, they have to have mine, because mine's the right one.
Right, right.
So let's go on to our next topic, guys. So this season, and I've seen this as well, features some really great musical scores, soundtracks. It seems to be a lot of these shows have really stepped up and brought some variable music rather than just using the same background noise every time, every episode. Which show, or maybe a couple of shows, feature some of your best musical scores, maybe openings, endings, this season? Sandra, why don't you start?
For soundtracks, I'd have to say Fate Zero and... Though I know no one else is watching it, Saint Seiya Omega are my favorites. But I also feel like Mysterious Girlfriend X deserves, like, a special mention. Like, I don't know how much of its music I'd want to listen to outside of the show, but it all has this, like, feeling that everything is a little off. It captures the strangeness of the show, I think. So it works really well.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying the, at least for the soundtrack side of things, the Eureka AO background music. There's a mix between techno beat, there's some orchestra type background. It really mixes it up. They're using variations of the same few songs, but it's nice to have a range of different music in the background. I've really enjoyed that from what I'm watching and focusing on.
That franchise is just loaded top to bottom with musical references and just an appreciation of musical culture. You know, the first one is very, like, it's all about old school rave culture and hip hop and b-boy culture. Very almost fetishistic of that kind of stuff. And music really showed it. And I think they're maybe downplaying it a little bit this time around, but the music is still just outstanding. For me, that's the standout of the season.
Maybe I should be watching that.
You should.
Yeah, you should actually. You should go and check out Otoh's post.
Series.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, then you should not.
Well,
actually, that brings up a whole other argument we can get into later on whether you should watch the original or this, because there's a definite disconnect between the two. I'm not going to get into it right now. I've argued this many times on We Remember Love. Let's avoid that. But I think you can watch the current season without watching the first. It may not make as much sense, but it's cool enough. But anyways, Kevo, what about you for musical scores, soundtracks, openings, endings?
Sure. Of course, I'll have to talk about my favorite musical score this season. I guess Sakamichi no Palon. Obviously, Yoko Kanno is my favorite anime poser, period. So, you know, I really like the jazzy kind of tunes. It's actually kind of what's keep me into the show. I like the creative use of music in the show, and background soundtrack is not extensively noticeable. Obviously, the opening theme is stunning. But the musical score is very functional. It's rather minimalistic in the sense that you don't hear it often. It's the show is very heavy on dialogue. But I like Yoko Kanno. I will literally watch anything that she composes for. My other pick for soundtrack, I guess, this season, it's also last season, is Aquarian of All. We have to keep up the string of show, the pattern of episodes of this podcast where Aquarian of All is mentioned, so I might as well do it here. Again, you know, big Yoko Kanno, it's my favorite opening theme. It's just a bunch of spectacular music that's par for the course for her, and yeah. So as much recycling as there is from Genesis of Aquarian, Aquarian of All has major points with me in the music department.
Calamari shows always seem to have pretty good... I'm not watching it, but it seems that Calamari shows always seem to have a pretty good... pretty good ear for music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's because half the time he hires Yoko Kanno, so we're all good to go. Yeah.
See, I'm surprised none of you guys have brought up Slope Bros. I mean, you got the jazz music.
Didn't I just
did you? I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'm being maximum.
Did you just go away and make yourself a sandwich, Joe?
I'm trying to make. I'm looking at questions and comments. I apologize. I'm hearing okay. Half of things. I'm trying to make sure. Like, people have complained in the past that we're not getting any echo as well. So I'm listening in on delays as well.
But, okay. Slope Bros is awesome. Music's great. The cool thing about kind of Slope Bros is the musical score, obviously it's an anime about music, so it's more of in the forefront than in the background. And I really like the kind of shows that kind of do that. Nodame Kanabale, you know, music anime. Sakamichi no Palan, music anime. K-On, not a music anime because there's no music in it. There's tea. But Sakamichi no Palan, music is straight in the forefront. They talk about music. They do a lot of music. And, you know, music is a motif. And it really... Slope Bros really brings out the talent that's in the musical score.
I don't know what brain power it is. Aiden's trying to talk about this.
Say that again? Sorry.
Does anybody hear?
I know. Brain power is a show that Yoko Kanno composed for in the past, I believe. And it's a little, how do I say this delicately, bad. It is actually pretty bad.
But is it watchable?
No.
Full circle.
So, next topic up. So right now we've got tourney season going on, the International Sci-Moe League, Sci-Mecha Tournament, Anablog Tourney. Seems like you can go anywhere right now and vote on something that's your favorite. I know there's a few Twitter people that post their pictures of their votes for their favorite Moe girl. You guys have all been a part of the ABT. How's that gone for you guys? Or what are you guys voting on? What are you guys doing now in relation to some of these tournaments? Why don't you start, Ato?
I'm voting for anything that isn't whiners.pro. I actually kind of like Attorney because it does do its stated mission, which is to help people find new blogs. Like, I really don't think that I would have found, maybe through Vook I would have, but I don't think I would have found Spherical Cows, for instance, and started reading it.
He only found out about it because of Attorney.
Yeah. It just seems like it, in spite of all the other junk going along with it, the trolling, the anger, which you, I saw that you'll have chocolate syrupy waffles on next week, so I'd like to hear that. The story of all that jazz.
He was actually on before.
Yeah, he was on before.
We went an entire episode without even bringing it up.
Oh, I was so disappointed.
I would be too.
At the time, I think it was the day or 2 days after that all had gone down, and I was, to be honest, I was a little nervous. I didn't want to bring any interesting biases into the conversation. How about that?
Yes. I don't know. I've had fun though in general.
Sci-Mecha is just a pile of flame.
Well, people have attempted Sci-Mecha before, I believe. I know they've attempted Sci-Gar, and that just devolves into
Sci-Mecha has happened once before, and it was fun then, and it's pretty fun now. It's all about the posts that people write with the intentional yet pretty good natured trolling that goes on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a tourney season. I've had a lot of fun with the anime blog tournament. Because of that, anime power rankings have basically, doubled in size. We have a lot of new people now. And I've been able to find a lot of blogs. I was lucky enough to participate in the first one. Shin showed me the way out pretty easily in that one. I'm excited now that my blog's a lot bigger. I can kind of compete a little harder, and hopefully I do well. But, you know, it's been fun seeing actual support for your blog. I mean, isn't that really why people blog generally, like to have feedback and get people who, you know, like reading, get feedback on their stuff? Yeah.
Yes,
you know,
I need
course,
approval from my peers for sure.
Oh, yeah, well, no, not even just approval, just, like, you know, feedback,
like
commentary. You know, people seeing that people actually, you know, read your blog and be like, oh, my day just got a little bit better, you know. So that's really powerful for me. But, yeah, stroking the ego, that's always good.
No, I can't deny it that it was very cool to advance through two rounds, and it's pretty awesome. I'm going to get crushed by the PS Gels wood chipper, but.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really want to I never share who I vote for because I don't want drama happening. But, you know, it's hard sometimes to pick between two really good blogs, two blogs that I know, two APR voters, things like that. But, you know, it's interesting to vote every day. It's also a lot of fun to actually participate.
I think voting every day is honestly a little overwhelming, though.
Well, I don't vote every day. I vote because, like, oh, I'm on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Let's look at, yeah. And then we haven't talked about ISML. ISML actually was one of my first, like, anime community interactions. I know the guys from ISML, Krisu, he used to write for Borderline Hikikomori, and Cold Stare and those guys. They're really, I was with ISML during their first season. You know, they're a class act. They got everything together. I don't care anymore, but, you know, it's interesting, it's fun, and a lot of people vote for it, apparently. I don't know, it's still around.
I think for me, one of the biggest things I found other than anime blogs was just a number of manga blogs. For me, and then, so I'm adding to my list of, you know, things to read. I read, I guess my active reading list is probably anywhere between 20 and 30 different series. So trying to find anything new that fits into that, I found four or five new manga blogs that review things from time to time, review volumes and stuff. So I've gotten some more out of that side of it, I think, than the anime side. Because I guess with some of the groups and the people I'm hanging out with now, I see a lot more anime blog posts. So I get familiar more just from Twitter than I did from ABT on a lot of those.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the biggest thing I discovered was that a lot of the... This is going to sound really bad, and I apologize to people, but maybe some of those second-tier ones, the ones where it's maybe one, two people, they write one article a week, if that, the low-volume type blogs, I've seen a lot more of those on ABT, which was interesting. You get some more of those niche-type blogs where they'll write one post a week in one show, or they'll only do a whole series review once a month, that kind of thing.
Just one creepy guy writing that sort of thing.
Yeah, he only writes about Kaon. You know, he only writes about K-On, and he only writes about it when there's a Jojin that comes out, you know, that kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But anyways. So we've got some questions, if you guys don't mind. We'll start with from one from Kadian. What would be the first anime you would show your kids, and at what age would you show it to them?
King's Sweet Home. And I'd show it to them, like, when they're five or something. I don't know, as soon as they're born, they're probably good to watch it. It's just about a kitten.
It seems like a good candidate, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anything Miyazaki, just about.
Yeah.
I mean, like, maybe Spirited Away or something would get a little intense in parts. I don't know, but, Gari Zero... For Tsukidoji,
yeah.
That
Detroit
sort of
Metal
thing.
City.
Definitely Detroit Metal City.
That, I let my son, when he was about five or six, I started him on Naruto, just because, you know, five-year-old boy, lots of people fighting, doing ninja stuff. It appealed to him. He liked it quite a bit. My daughter, last fall, watched Bunny Drop with me for most of the fall, and that was a lot of fun. She...
Thankfully, they didn't get to the end of the manga.
Yeah, that would have been bad news. But at least it was cut off just in that childhood stage. So she really loved that. She still asks, is there a new one out? It's like, no, it ended. No more. All done.
you don't want to see the end.
Yeah.
It's over. Yeah. Pretend there's no more.
She marries the guy she thought was her dad. Yeah, we're done. We're not going to go there.
I mean, I grew up watching, you know, I watched some of those horrible adaptations. They weren't all horrible, but like Mazinger Z as Transor Z and Macross as Robotech. And I watched a lot of that stuff when I was 6, 7 or whatever, and it's, you know, it a lot of it seems very, especially the older shows like that, it's kind of cartoony violence, and it's not too bad for kids, so.
Yeah, as Vuk mentioned, over Christmas, I marathoned watch the original Aquarion series, all 26 episodes or whatever it was. My oldest son and my oldest daughter sat down and watched it with me, and now, since January, they've watched the newest series too, and every week they want to sit down and watch it. Over that first 13 episodes, I had to do a fair amount of eye covering, but now that we're focused more on plot and substance, it's actually been a lot more enjoyable to watch with them. I'm actually spending time watching the show and not paying attention to what they shouldn't be watching.
Right. I mean, it's difficult for me to, first of all, imagine having a kid at this age. Second of all, you know, really thinking about exposing a kid to anime. Because, I mean, I know when I first started watching anime, I didn't actually know it was anime. You know, I was the Sailor Moons, the Dragon Ball Z, you know, Tenchi Muyo I liked too when on Toonami when I was little. You know, so I'm not sure if I would introduce them as, like, anime to them as anime or as, you know, just something to watch. I'd probably give them, you know, when they're, you know, 9, 10, early childhood. I'd give them my favorite Miyazaki film, which is Kiki's Delivery Service. I think that it's a very light show. There's not a lot of complexity in it. It's really just as simple, it's minimalistic, but it's really, you know, profound and powerful, which I enjoy a lot. And I think that people of all ages can appreciate something like that. You know, I'd probably be indifferent about introducing them to the, you know, actually, like, anime and that kind of culture that anime has. I think that's more of something that they can discover on their own and something that they can decide for their own if they want to get into. But, you know,
or God help us all. Hopefully they never do.
God help us all. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, maybe, you know, if they want to watch, if they naturally, you know, get interested and want to watch some shows with Daddy, if he, for some reason, is still doing this in a few years after I'm older, yeah, I wouldn't stop them.
I
think anime is for everyone. Yeah. Maybe some shows that I watch, not too older, but
one of the biggest things
it's like a Nemo sign, you know, yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Luke is mentioning Barefoot Gen and Grave of the Firefly.
Grave of the Fireflies is what everyone should watch when they're 3 years old because it's that beautiful. Akikan, Apocalypse Zero, Poppy the Performer, just give it all to them when they're little. We'll have a society full of sociopaths.
What I think is the kids now are missing out on is when I was in college, and for some of you, when you were a kid, that's how much of an age difference there is, we had Toonami. It was easily accessible. You had the afternoon, mm-hmm. you had the night watch, and there was some decent... Let's put it this way: it was a lot of shonen-based stuff. That's fine, whatever. But it was easily accessible, and it was things that were, going back to our first question, were definitely watchable. You know, you had they must have played the Cell Saga for DBZ like 3 times in a row my college year. I mean, it was ridiculous. But I mean, it was stuff you could watch, and it was fun, you know. But now if you go to Saturday Morning Cartoons or you go to Cartoon Network, it's Yu-Gi-Oh, and I'm gonna put some anime into tears here. It's more the mass production. It's the only reason it exists is to sell some sort of product on the back end type anime. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
As opposed to say Gundam or something, which was made not to sell robot toys, but to be a great piece of art.
Well, granted, there's a whole difference. Yeah.
All sarcasm aside, I mean that's the primary goal of the vast majority, but a very large amount of anime. And, you know, I've watched enough Pokemon to know that it can be pretty entertaining despite all that.
Yeah, but when they show the card and they're like they're talking about its hit points and they're reading off the card right in the middle of the show, it's basically a commercial to go to the store and buy it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's not like in the middle of a DBZ episode he pulls out the action figure of himself and says, go to the store and buy this. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, you just put the most hilarious image of DBZ product placement in my head. Goku opens up a can of Dr. Pepper, now available at your local gas station. And
as opposed to, you know, Science Gate, where they're constantly drinking Dr. Pepper. That's how anime gets made. Otherwise, you know, there's not a lot of money in it, so there has to be some other way to make money, and that tends to be...
I don't really mind the product placement in anything, you know, as long as it's not silly or excessive, you know. I actually get a little bit of kick out of it. It gives it a slight sense of realism.
Kids don't really notice this stuff anyways.
It's well, also that's, conscious, yeah.
That's what makes it seem kind of, you know, disingenuous, I guess, is the kids don't notice it, and it seems like it's almost taking advantage of kids to do that. Like, a kid just sees Yu-Gi-Oh! Pull an awesome move. It's time to do. But, you know, really, they're being implanted with the idea that they want the whatever freaking, I don't know. I haven't watched Yu-Gi-Oh! In a long time. It's so ridiculous.
But what if they do want it? Because, like, I never bought any, like, Zoids models until I saw the anime. And I find those models, like, really fun to make. And they're not, like, super difficult or whatever, like, real models would be.
Yeah, I mean, in itself, I don't think, you know, product placement is an evil thing. Because, like I said, you know, that's how it gets done. And Gundam was made to sell toys, but the toys are badass, so...
Yeah.
I mean, I think the point you're getting at is, yeah, you know, you bring up Yu-Gi-Oh! In that the problem with Yu-Gi-Oh! And, you know, is that not because it's just pure product placement filtered, it's that it strips away, you know, a certain semblance of art or a certain semblance of, you know, actual exposition from anime and just... is a blatant and shallow piece of 22 minutes of advertising.
I think that's the best way to put it, yes. So what else have we got here? Not a ton of questions from the crowd today. Oh, let's talk about remakes.
Jerks.
I know. One more question here. What about remakes? So this season, or the last couple seasons now, we've had a remake of Hunter x Hunter. So if an anime is going to be remade, you know, is there some sort of time period you should wait? Should you what's the rule set behind that? Should you reinvent it? What do you guys think is the best approach if you're going to remake a past plot, a past anime, something like that?
I would say probably don't make it any sooner than like 10 years after the original aired, because like it's just too soon.
Something where maybe a significant technological advance has happened.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that. Even then, though, I'm ambivalent to the whole remake thing. I was going to say I'd rather see a bigger budget movie or OVA version at the time, you know, than worry about technology advances later on.
I mean, I think what they try to target with remakes is they try to capture, you know, rely on the name brand of the previous show and capture some of the nostalgia from people who watched the earlier show, but primarily kind of get people who might be interested in watching a specific show into it just because it doesn't look that old and uses new technology. For example, I would probably watch the crap out of a remake of Legend of the Galactic Heroes, you know, just because, you know, I've sat through, like, a few episodes of the first one, and I like it, but it just looks like ancient sauce. You know?
It would still, it's not even that old. It would still just be guys talking.
Right.
No matter what. Like, it's It's not something you watch for the spectacle.
And additionally, you know, if you're going to use that new technology, you can't just make it make a show look better. You have to make a show. You know, there are those remakes that just really just change a lot of things and make everything. It takes a new takes a show in a new direction. An example I have is the remake of Cannon back in 06. Just, you know, having that omnibus format, having a very, you know, basically Kyoto Animation art style, that could bring a lot more people into the franchise. You know, that can really expand upon, you know, what the story's about. And now when people talk about that show, when people say Canon, automatically, you know, the remake pops into your head.
Sure. Yeah. I know that there are, you know, people out there who, and this goes for live action stuff too, there are people out there, especially as they get younger, who just won't watch anything before a certain period. So I guess if you feel pretty strongly about exposing people to something, and for some reason or another you just don't have any ideas of your own, then by all means, go on and do a remake. And you can get a result like Canon, which is, you know, I'll leave my own opinion out of that one. But technically, obviously, it's much nicer.
So one last roundtable question. We'll go... We'll start with Kevo on this. What would be your favorite all-time OST?
My favorite all-time OST. Oh, can I pick two?
I'll give you two.
No, actually, I have one. I have one. My favorite all-time OST. Alright, I've already mentioned Yoko Kanno enough, so, you know, whatever, credits her. So I don't feel too bad about saying this. My favorite all-time original soundtrack is going to be the soundtrack for Ari. That's a Chrono Club, I think. Yeah, of course it is. Just because it has everything you could possibly need from anything ever. You know, it's a beautiful soundtrack that's full of, you know, spectacular motifs. You know, it really has that sense of, you know, you're in Neo-Nazia, that Italian influence. It's super creative. You know, all the songs are great. The compositions are stellar. Yeah, that's basically it. And in an anime like Aria, where it's a lot more slow-paced, it's more about the environment, it's more about the atmosphere, the soundtrack's absolutely critical. And Chrono Club's work just blows it out of the park. And, you know, that's what makes Aria so good. I don't think it really would have been the same show if anyone else in the world has done the soundtrack.
Sandra, what do you think?
I think this is a really hard question for me. I don't know, does Otozan have anything in mind right now? Give me more time to think.
Not a problem.
Macross Plus. I don't have a whole lot to say about that, but it's just, speaking of Yoko Kanno, it's, I think when she does get, it's her with two of her best directorial collaborators, Shinichiro Watanabe and Shoji Kawamori, and it just, all of the glorious, you know, spread of the story, as far as the Sharon Apple futuristic pop thing, and then the angst of the relationships and all that, it's just perfect, and it stands on its own as something to listen to, which is, I think, one of the reasons why people like her stuff a lot. It stands on its own even outside of the with the anime. Push Shizzle's mentioning Redline, but I can't handle all of the the whole time. And Eureka 7 is a good one, too.
All right, Sandra, you're on the spot. Now.
I don't know. I guess just going with Yoko Kanno, Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex.
Word.
It's a goodie.
That's a goodie.
And speaking of remakes, that would not be a bad show to remake with some of the modern animation, maybe a very decent use of CGI, because even back then it looked great, but moving on.
Yeah, it's going to take a few years because I think it was ahead of its time enough.
That it's
going to take a while.
Yeah.
And same with Macross Plus that I mentioned, you know, speaking of ahead of its time with CGI, you know, I'd love to see it remade on one hand, but on the other hand, it's almost perfect. So you ignore some of the dated things in the CGI until it looks like Golgocopter, and then
you enjoy
the hand stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad I did pick Aria, because otherwise I would have said Genesis of Aquarian, and then all of us would have given a Yoko Kanno soundtrack as our answer.
So we'll go one last question, and then I'll get some final thoughts from you guys. So speaking of remakes, since we're going to rehash this real quick, what do you guys feel about the rebuild of Eva series?
If you don't mind me buttoning to start here.
No, go for it.
I actually wrote on the site that you write for, Joe. I wrote a bit that if I find the link, I'll tweet it out or something. I wrote a thing about it for We Remember Love after the second one came out. And I think, I guess I'm probably too much. That is the show that made me a fanboy, and that's the same with so many other people. It's hard to remove yourself and say objectively that you think it's a good idea or not, but you know, Anno was in just such a terrible place when he made those, and that's why they're so bleak, and it's interesting to see what he's done and how he's obviously in a very different mental state. So I'm trying to not be too cynical and say, you know, he's just in it to fleece more money out of us. Because if you look at it, you know, these guys are making, like, the new Vision based on how he's feeling now. But in my opinion, he's not George Lucasing it. And besides that, it looks freaking amazing. It looks so good. It's just, I don't know, it's fun to watch.
It does look really great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm pretty outspoken about what I think about Neon Genesis Evangelion, and please do not get mad and flip the table on me. But I despise Neon Genesis Evangelion, the anime. I don't like it. I think the pacing is awful. The ending doesn't make any sense to me. You know, the whole gauntlet of things. That said, when I watched the remake movies, I actually enjoyed them quite a bit, because inside Neon Genesis Evangelion is a really, really interesting, you know, envelope-pushing plot, and really, you know, some really nice content in there that's finally, to me, unleashed with actually, like, good pacing, slightly more likable characters, and, you know, the focus, I find the focus in the movies more focused to the show's strong points and less focused about the show's weak points, or at least they don't show up as well. So I really dig the Eva movies myself. Like, as a non-fan, I find the movies very accessible and very enjoyable.
Also, just so you know, I don't think the ending makes any sense to anyone. And if it makes sense to them, they're probably making things up.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm glad that everyone can agree with me.
Yeah, so don't feel bad.
It makes some sense after you watch End of Eva, because that's...
Which I did, and then I'm like, okay, I kind of get it now.
Because the TV series is what happens inside his head, and End of Eva is what happens in the world while that's going on. And it's, you know, it's not that... Once you read some of the interviews with Anno, where he talks about how he deliberately inserted things just to throw you off and make it look a little deeper than it was, you can strip away some of that stuff that makes it less understandable. And when you get to the core, it's not that complicated of a story. And obviously a lot of anime people got it because it's been rehashed so many freaking times.
Right. But the thing is, you know, that's golden rule. You know, Joe's ending shouldn't need that much explanation for you to get it. You know, it's like explaining a joke. A good joke doesn't need to be explained to anybody.
I would disagree. I think that, you know, the more times I have to watch something in order to fully grasp it, I think the more times I'm able to enjoy it without having it be worn out.
I believe, though, there is some border between complexity and absurdity. And at least for me, in my personal opinion, Eva was far beyond that border for me, personally. My more concerns about my main issues with the show, however, is Shinji and then pacing. And I think the movies do a very good job of really bringing out what the show really has to offer, all the really good things about Evangelion that were kind of hindered by this pacing and
So on that note, I think we'll wrap things up. Any final thoughts from you guys? We'll start with you, Otosan.
Oh,
quick soundbite.
Vote for me in the next round. Because P.S. Gels is going
to
P.S. Gels is going to crush me like a little pea between your fingers, just terribly. So make me have a little bit of dignity. And thanks for listening,
Sandra.
I can't really say vote for me since I lost in the second round, but vote for Otosan.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
It's going to be a war, but you're going to just be a figurehead. Sorry.
It's going to be Otosan's going to be the banner that's raised and rallied around, huh? Kevo, final thought.
Okay. Well, just because we're all conspiring against PS Gels here, I might as well speak on his behalf. You know, PS Gels, a class act. Love his writing. He's a great anime power rankings voter.
We all love him.
Yeah, Otosan's also good, too. So please vote for the better blog that's in your opinion. And also, while you're at it, vote for me in the next round. Because I'm the bomb, and Winers Pro hated my blog. So that's all the more reason to.
Yeah, but did they call you creepy?
What did they say? I barely read it.
Yeah, so again, vote for Otosan, and on the other hand, don't vote for Winers. And that's the general thought. But thank you guys for coming on tonight. I appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your evening to come join me on here.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Yeah, I love your show.
It's fun.
So next week we have Aeroblip, also from Kevo's blog. He'll be coming to join us. Spiral.
He's gonna cause trouble.
Yeah, yeah. We have Spiral and Akira, which are making a reappearance here on the show. Should be interesting again. Getting those two guys talking is always quite the treat. But tune in next week. And then we also have three brand new guests coming in on May 29th, but I'll keep that as a surprise for next week.
Oh, as, doki doki.
Yeah. As always, I get these audio and video posted on a separate blog at joeanimated.wordpress.com, which you can look for it there. I've turned the audio portion into a podcast feed if you're open for some punishment there. And if you're interested in being on the show, you can always email me at joeanimated@gmail.com. I appreciate you guys watching tonight, and I appreciate having my guests. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, and thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
Right. Yeah, had a lot of fun.
All right, good night, guys.